Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack. On Chris. I'm Pete Anderson. Today I'll be reading from the March 4th, 2024 edition of the Hartford Business Journal. The first story we're going to look at today is titled, Amid Pending Yale-New Haven Health Deal, Weymouth Takes On Larger Role with Prospects Struggling Connecticut Hospitals. Deborah Weymouth, who recently became president and CEO of Waterbury Health, in addition to her role overseeing the Eastern Connecticut Health Network, or ECHN, says her background in finance helps her in a very specific way as she leads three of the state's 27 hospitals. While many hospital CEOs come from a medical or clinical background, Weymouth has a degree in international finance. What that entitles you to is the power of the question, she said during a recent interview with the Hartford Business Journal. So I have the ability to ask any question of anyone at any time because it's not assumed that I know it. She continued, so I can ask a clinical question or a process question, and the power in that questioning ability is kind of the secret sauce, if you will, because it really does help me get to understand the critical data. Weymouth faces some profound challenges as she steps in to succeed Dr. Justin Lundby, who announced that he is leaving as CEO of Waterbury Health effective March 8th to become president of Good Samaritan Hospital on Long Island in New York. Waterbury Health and Waterbury Hospital, along with ECHN's Manchester Memorial and Rockville General Hospitals, have been in limbo for more than a year as Yale-New Haven Health attempts to acquire them from California-based for-profit operator Prospect Medical Holdings. State regulatory approval of the deal has stalled as Yale, Prospect, and the state wrangle over the price and other conditions of the sale. Further complicating the deal, according to the Connecticut Mirror, is that Yale has asked the state for $80 million over 5 years to help the Prospect-owned hospitals recover from a devastating cyber attack that began last August with Waterbury Hospital especially hard hit. It has also been reported that Prospect Medical Holdings owes vendors tens of millions of dollars and has not paid hospital user fees to the states in March 2022, a debt of $67 million. Prospect's Connecticut hospitals have experienced uneven financial performances in recent years. In fiscal 2022, Waterbury Hospital recorded a $9.2 million operating deficit, while Manchester Memorial reported an $8.8 million surplus. Rockville had a $561,029 deficit, while Prospect's overall Connecticut operations reported a $19.9 million operating loss in fiscal 2022, according to the latest financial data available from the Office of Health Strategy. Weymouth said the pending sale is critical because it will provide the smaller community hospitals she currently oversees with access to a wider array of specialists and other services affiliated with Yale-New Haven Health, which generated $6.1 billion in revenue in fiscal year 2022. By comparison, Prospect's Connecticut operations generated $593.7 million in revenue during that same period. Weymouth didn't share any updates on potential sale. She also said she hasn't been given assurances that she will be retained should the deal go through. She did say she recently met with senior leaders at Waterbury Health, which has operated independently from ECHN, even though the systems share the same parent company. Weymouth said she can handle overseeing a third hospital partly because she's built a strong leadership team at ECHN since arriving there in 2019. And it's not just a me thing, by the way. It takes a lot of us to make it work, Weymouth said, of her added responsibilities. So everybody's going to pick up a little bit. Before joining ECHN in 2019, Weymouth led UMass Memorial Healthcare, a three-hospital system in Massachusetts. Here's what else she had to say in a wide-ranging interview. The Q&A was edited for length and clarity. Question. What have been your major accomplishments so far with ECHN and Manchester Memorial and Rockville General Hospitals? Answer, we've done a number of things that you can count metrics-wise. One example she provided is that ECHN has gone well over 700 days without a central line-associated bloodstream infection. We've been profitable since our cyber event, and we've significantly reduced our reliance on travelers, that includes freelance and medical staff, down to just a handful, which has helped us in a variety of ways. We have really dramatically focused and improved our patient experience. But at the end of the day, the big thing that we've done is to address our culture. I know to lots of people that's kind of a soft word. What is it? How do you define culture? But for us, we've really focused on that, and we've been able to implement some new service values. We've been able to hold each other accountable to maintaining those service values. And with that, we've really seen a turnabout in people understanding what their purpose is and how it relates to what they do every day and how it impacts the next guy down the line. With this culture change, we've really built trust in our physicians, with our team members, and that has been incredibly helpful in difficult times. Question. When you mention reducing your reliance on travelers, that's traveling nurses, right? Weymouth replied, well, we have a variety of travelers, whether they're a respiratory therapist or somebody who works in HR, for example. But you recall just a while ago there was an explosion in the use of temporary workers in hospitals around the country because of the reduction in full-time employees. Hospitals post-COVID had to rely on these travelers, who were being paid pretty exorbitant rates to fill in. They don't live in the community, they fly in and out. It's just had an impact on their level of commitment and support of our patients in our community. They're also more expensive, in some cases 3 and 4 times what you would normally pay. And then the bad news is that your people who are committed to work for you, you can't pay them. It's just not right. So we moved away from relying on travelers and really hired people who care, who want to be in the community and really wanted to contribute. You mentioned the cyber attack and that ECHN has been profitable since that occurred. What is the status of the recovery overall on all 3 Prospect hospitals in Connecticut? Answer, I can assure you that actually all the organizations are at the tail end of recovery. Of course, that involves a lot of catch-up and paperwork and so forth, but we have worked really hard at that piece. We learned a great deal from this cyber attack, and we want to parlay those learnings into being better organizations in the future. But what has occurred is, within about 60 days, ECHN returned to profitability after the cyber attack, and Waterbury has improved its performance every month in this fiscal year. Question. Some of the issues related to the cyber attack had to do with aging equipment and computers and software problems. Have those been addressed? Weymouth replied, we've been able to isolate some of the areas for sure, and we have pulled them out and we're ready to address them where we can, if we haven't already addressed them. But that's not unique to us or to anybody else who's gotten attacked by an outside bad actor. That constant surveillance of our own internal security for your own internal security system needs to go on for everybody. Question. Given the cyber attack and other issues that have come to light involving Prospect Medical Holdings, like reports that the company wasn't fully paying vendors, are you confident that Waterbury Hospital and ECHN can continue to survive and provide a high level of care until the sale to Yale New Haven Health is completed? Weymouth replied, I am confident that it's in the best interest of the communities involved for those hospitals to survive and thrive going forward. And we've done many things to communicate that to the folks involved in the decision at hand to make that understandable going forward. My confidence lies in the people and the physicians and the communities themselves. And of course, I'm not the ultimate decision maker, but my motivation is to deliver the highest quality care that we can for those communities that we're connected to. The next story from the Hartford Business Journal is titled Scaling Up. This is subtitled Set for Hartford Growth Spurt. UConn seeks to offer downtown student housing. The University of Connecticut is deepening its ties to the capital city with plans to grow its downtown campus footprint while connecting students to new research, employment, internship, and even housing opportunities. The expansion includes UConn taking over 51,000 square feet of the vacant space at the Excel Center, where the school this fall will debut a new research and clinical programs. University leaders are also strongly considering the addition of student dormitory space downtown. The effort would likely include a partnership with a private developer who would convey an empty or underutilized office building into student housing. The overall expansion, school leaders say, aims to create new work and internship opportunities for students while also opening up potential partnerships with Hartford businesses, nonprofits, and art programs. Dormitory space would also satisfy students' long-running desires for a more traditional college experience in the city, said Mark Overmeyer Velasquez, dean and chief academic officer of UConn's Hartford campus. For me, it's all about how do I improve their education and their experience and enhance those with what's going on in the city, he said. UConn is finalizing a 5-year lease for the Excel Center space, which was previously occupied by the University of St. Joseph's Pharmacy School. UConn has set a tentative $1.2 million budget to retrofit the space, which will host a new agricultural and food science program, sports medicine center, mental health clinic, and 2 badly needed lecture halls. State lawmakers last year allocated $5 million in bond funding to support the expansion. The State Bond Commission approved those funds in December. It will be the largest expansion in Hartford by UConn since 2017, when the school debuted its new $150 million regional campus in the former Hartford Times building. The Hartford campus, which relocated from West Hartford, brought with it much fanfare, originally hosting about 2,300 undergraduate and graduate students and 300 faculty. UConn also has its graduate business school in downtown Hartford located on Constitution Plaza. UConn could begin offering downtown housing options by the end of the year or in 2025, school officials said. In addition to undergraduate students, it could accommodate pupils from UConn's Hartford-based law school and Farmington-based medical campus. We are looking at establishing a residence hall for undergraduate students and also possibly graduate students in downtown Hartford, UConn Provost Ann DeLiva recently told the Hartford Business Journal. Students at the Hartford campus have for some time shared that they would like to have a housing option as part of their college experience. UConn is considering a pilot program in which it would lease downtown apartments from a private landlord and make the units available to students. It's a model the school already employs at its campus in Stamford, where UConn leases 3 residential buildings that house about 500 students who live in suite-style apartments. UConn, which directly manages those residence halls, plans to lease additional space near its Stamford campus this fall to increase student housing options there, officials said. UConn also has student housing available at its Waterbury campus that operates in a slightly different manner. There is a lot of demand for housing in Stamford, and we believe that the demand would be relatively strong for a residential experience at the Hartford campus, DeLiva said. DeLiva said Hartford isn't looking to acquire additional housing real estate, so any dormitory space would require a partnership with a private landlord or developer. The process right now is about identifying a suitable location, and then I think we need to assess what renovations might be necessary, DeLiva said. Christopher Riley, president of the prolific Hartford-based developer Lexington Partners, said his firm is speaking with UConn about possibly redeveloping existing office space into dorms, which would be leased to the university. They are very motivated, and we are still trying to work out how to do it at all, Riley said. City officials said UConn's Hartford expansion will provide downtown with an economic boost. The move will bring hundreds of additional students into the city each weekday during the school year. We are talking about all of these younger students and grad students who are going to be spending their time there. That will create a new attraction for business, said Hartford Economic Development Director Patrick Pentelo. I think it's a huge win for Hartford, and I think it's a win for UConn as well. The XL Center will host a new food innovation center headed by UConn's Department of Agriculture. The center is meant to help Connecticut farmers produce in-demand crops, increasing the value of the state's agricultural sector. The center will also pair UConn faculty with industry to conduct research and joint projects. The psychology clinic will provide low-cost therapy services to the public and hands-on experience for students. The Institute for Sports Medicine inside the XL Center will bring together researchers, physicians, clinicians, and physical therapists from the UConn Department of Kinesiology in stores and UConn Health to provide instruction and services, said Pamir Alpay, UConn's Vice President for Research, Innovation, and Entrepreneurship. This will be a very central location where we can do clinical work, where we can do research work, Alpay said. Alpay said the university hopes the new clinical opportunities will help spur future enrollment growth. The Hartford campus began the 2023 fall semester with 1,473 undergraduate students. DeLiva said the upcoming Hartford expansion also complements the university's recently adopted 10-year strategic master plan, which calls for 7 world-class campuses and 1 flagship university. The campuses include stores, the regionals in Hartford, Waterbury, Stamford, and Avery Point in Groton, along with the UConn Health Facility in Farmington and UConn's Law School in Hartford. The idea is that we want to build each of our campuses and take advantage of opportunities that each of our locations represent, DeLiva said. Of course, Hartford is our capital and a major business city in the nation, and so we want to build our prestige in Hartford. Taking a look now at our next story, this is a companion story to the one I just read. This is titled Privately Developed College Dorm in Downtown Waterbury Pays Off. UConn's Avery Point campus leadership shows interest. UConn officials aren't just considering student housing in Hartford. New residential space could also be added near the school's Avery Point campus in Groton. Early talks have occurred between the university and Joseph Gramondo, managing partner of Green Hub Development, a firm that brought college dormitory housing to UConn's Waterbury campus in 2017. In Waterbury, Green Hub spent about $7 million to buy and renovate the top 2 floors of a 3-story mixed-use office building at 20 East Main Street, located almost across from the downtown UConn Regional Campus. The effort transformed the long-vacant 68,388-square-foot brown building into dormitory suites for 90 students. The city of Waterbury is providing zoning relief and tax abatement to aid the project. Unlike Waterbury, however, Avery Point Seaside Campus in Groton doesn't have nearby large empty buildings ripe for housing conversions, Gramondo said. The area also lacks apartments in general. Avery Point enrolled 531 students this fall, 464 of whom are undergraduates. Gramondo said his idea is to build student housing on space granted through a long-term land lease. He stressed talks are in the early stages and far from an actionable proposal. Gramondo said he modeled his rehab of the Brown Building in Waterbury to match UConn's vision of dorm life. Green Hub provides resident advisors on each floor and a building manager. The building is open to any higher education student, but draws mainly from the nearby UConn campus. Today, the building houses 70 UConn students and 20 from Post University, which is also located in Waterbury. Gramondo said the dorm is a powerful draw for students seeking the convenience and a residential college experience. There are study hall rooms for collaboration, and the building hosts events like holiday and Super Bowl parties, movie nights, and cultural potluck dinners. The property also has a security guard, hallway cameras, and electronic locks, Grimando said. What we built was a real college experience for these students, and the parents like it, Grimando said. Grimando said the dorm has been a good investment and Green Hub has retired all the project debt. Green Hub in Waterbury is also currently rehabbing a roughly 130-year-old, 39,537-square-foot office building near the UConn campus for university programs and classes. The roughly $15 million rehab of the approximate six-story Oddfellows building at 36 North Main Street launched in September and is expected to wrap up by the summer of 2025. Grimando said he expects the expansion will eventually result in demand for more student housing. Turning to our next story from the Hartford Business Journal, this story is titled Suburban Migration. Its subtitle here is Why One Engineering Firm Relocated from West Hartford to Downtown Hartford. Despite suffering from a high vacancy rate, one trend that's benefited Hartford's struggling office market has been the slow but consistent movement of companies relocating from the suburbs to the city's downtown. One of the latest corporations to make the move was PES Structural Engineers. The national firm has relocated its Connecticut regional office from West Hartford to the Front Street Entertainment District in downtown Hartford. PES principal David Aucoin said the new 4,250-square-foot space at the corner of Columbus Boulevard and Arch Street offers a more vibrant city setting for the firm's eight Connecticut employees. The new office also provides room for growth as PES wants to double its local employee count. PES has 57 total employees between its Hartford office and Atlanta headquarters. The firm has been located in the Bishop Corner Retail Center of West Hartford since 2012, but it outgrew the small space, which had singular rooms and no open feel, Aucoin said. As we grow, we want more of an architectural engineering collaborative space, especially as people are getting back to the office from the pandemic, Aucoin said. PES was founded in 1988 and offers structural engineering services to clients throughout the United States. It has been involved in some major local developments, including the One Park apartment project in West Hartford with Lexington Partners, and the 55 Elm Street redevelopment in Hartford, which is converting a seven-story former government building into apartments with Spinnaker Real Estate Partners. The company works regularly with the Hartford area design firms like Tecton Architects, JCJ Architecture, Crossley Architects, Shepley Bullfinch, and Amenta Emma, Aucoin said. Being closer to those clients was part of the reason for the move to downtown, Aucoin said. It's also an easier commute for most employees. When PES was looking to grow and offer more dynamic office setting, options like leasing and renovating additional space in its former West Hartford home at 2446 Albany Avenue would have been too costly, and it didn't suit the firm's design needs, said Aucoin. David Brownwell, the Northeast Director of Marketing and Business Intelligence for PES, said the space in West Hartford is in high demand. The Hartford office market offered more options and favorable lease rates and incentives. PES will receive a $75,000 tenant improvement budget within the terms of its five-year lease, and the firm invested another $200,000 in the build-out of its new space, Aucoin said. The Front Street location at 75 Columbus Boulevard is near the Infinity Music Hall and UConn's Hartford campus. In addition to restaurants like Bear Smokehouse Barbecue, the Capitol Grill, and Plan B Burger Bar. PES's office features exposed ductwork and structural beams, large windows, and an open collaborative space where engineers and project managers can work side by side. Many companies, post-pandemic, have repurposed their space to create a sense of community and collaboration, Aucoin said. PES leaders also looked at space in the historic Colt Gateway building, which was architecturally appealing with concrete columns and offered a great view of the city skyline, Aucoin said. Aucoin said the move brings him full circle. He graduated from Trinity College in Hartford and worked his first job in the Gold Building at the beginning of his career in the late 1990s. PES's move has been a bright spot in what's been a challenging post-pandemic Hartford office market. The public health crisis made remote work more popular and caused many companies to rethink their office space policies and needs. Many businesses have adopted hybrid work models that require employees to come to the office at least a few days a week. PES employees, for example, can work from home on Mondays and Fridays, a trend that started during the pandemic, but are encouraged to be in the office midweek. Hybrid work schedules have made companies desire more vibrant office settings that help lure people back into the office. For some, it has also reduced their need for space. Downtown Hartford's office vacancy rate was 18.7% pre-pandemic in the fourth quarter of 2019, but ballooned above 27% at the end of the fourth quarter of 2023, according to CBRE. The city's larger Class A buildings have faced even bigger challenges and currently have a vacancy rate of 32%. John McCormick, executive vice president of brokerage firm CBRE in Hartford, said 2023 represented the 10th consecutive year of the suburban migration into Hartford. Other recent companies included Talcott Financial Group's move last year to downtown Hartford from Windsor. Before that, Sun Life Financial relocated its Connecticut office from Windsor to the Gold Building at One Financial Plaza. Decades-long efforts to add more amenities in Hartford, like Duncan Park, the Front Street Entertainment District, new apartments, and most recently, new restaurants aided by the city's Heartlift grant program, have made the city more attractive, McCormick said. People just want to be part of that versus being in a suburban office park, McCormick said. The city also offers discounts to more competitive office markets. Lease rates for space in West Hartford average $35 to $40 per square foot, whereas in downtown Hartford it's closer to $22 to $25 per square foot, McCormick said. So there's some economic value that companies are looking to take advantage of, McCormick said. In one brief item from the Biz Briefs column, Wegmans Food Market, constructing first grocery store in Connecticut. Wegmans Food Markets Incorporated has begun constructing its first grocery store in Connecticut. Last year, Wegmans received zoning approval for a 91,600-square-foot grocery store at 47 Richards Avenue in Norwalk. Design plans show a stone and brick facade with a cupola and a clock tower. A 110,000-square-foot office building on the property needs to be demolished before the grocery store can be built. A demolition work is currently underway. Well, that's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the March 4th, 2024 edition of the Hartford Business Journal. I'm Pete Anderson. So long until next time.